Support for this episode is brought to you by Mrs. Myers. A delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Myers, everything we make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived ingredients, our cleaning products work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. So bring a little bit of the outside inside your four walls and bask in the wonder of a garden from the comfort of home. Mrs. Myers, rooted in goodness. Shop now at MrsMyers.com.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors followed one of their most impressive performances of the season with one of the most forgettable outings, losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second half of back-to-back by a score of 126-101. This was, it's kind of an unprofessional performance, all things considered. I'm not going to get mad at it. It's literally March basketball, like, this stuff happens. They didn't show up to play. And honestly, the Cavaliers, you know, they competed really hard. They made some really good plays. They moved the ball around nicely. And they smacked the Raptors. Like, there's really nothing about it. Like, the Raptors, I don't know. What do they do? Like, I guess, like, it's weird, right? This is a weird team. I just commended them yesterday about how much they avoided all the trappings of South Beach and how they came out so strong, and you know, despite all the circumstances, they played really well and got that great win. And then the night after, they go to Cleveland, and then they honestly the whole team played like zombies. Like, the only one guy that, you know, was actually able to score for the Raptors was Kawhi, but I mean, this guy was, you know, managing the load, so like, it's like, all right, cool, so he can score, that's cool. But everyone else looked just awful, man. Just an awful performance overall by the team. And honestly, a very costly game as well, because, you know, the big story out of this game is that Serge Ibaka got into his annual fight. So, you know, he's got to do one every year. And, this time he got mixed up with Marquise Chris, who, I don't know. This sort of came out of nowhere, really. I watched this game on tape delay because, you know, like the Raptors, I didn't take this game very seriously. I'm like, no, I'm going to hang out with my little brother. This game wasn't very important. It really wasn't. But, I circled back, and obviously I saw that Serge, you know, had gotten in this fight. It's like, okay, cool. So I'll pay close attention throughout the early portions of the game to see what Chris, you know, might have done to upset Ibaka, or if there's anything sort of building. And, like, there's a couple things I noticed, not specifically with regard to Ibaka, but Chris had made some, I would say, questionable contests. Now, you could say he was playing hard, which is fine, but like, you go back and watch some of the foul he had on Pascal Siakam, where Pascal's airborne and he undercuts him. That was a dangerous play. Pascal was, you know, kind of shaken up on the play, to be honest. And then later on, it's a play involving Danny Green where I think Chris was just trying to chase down and get the block, and I don't think there was anything malicious there. I don't think there was anything malicious either with any of these plays, to be honest. Chris kind of chased down Danny. Danny ended up, hitting his ankle on that play, and then Chris was already out of bounds, and the Raptors had gotten the rebound. Ibaka got the rebound, and Ibaka went back up for the putback, and Chris jumped him out of bounds and then sort of body-checked Ibaka. Again, I think he was just trying to make a play for the ball, to be honest. But, that also turned into, a hard foul. Both Ibaka and Danny Green were down on the ground for a while. But, like, that was, like, the end of the second quarter. Like, I didn't really sense any sort of lingering. Like, it wasn't like, you know, Ibaka got up and started talking to him. Nothing. Like, it seemed like nothing. And then I was watching closely in the third quarter. Like, Chris and Ibaka barely had any interactions whatsoever, and, what ultimately happened, I'm sure you've already seen the video, but There's 1 second left. The Raptors tried to do a full court inbound play, and Ibaka tried to seal Chris. Chris sort of locked Ibaka's arm and sort of like pulled him and held him down a little bit. It looked kind of dirty on some angles of the replay, but on other angles, it just looked like a regular play. I mean, a foul call probably should have been called, although you rarely see that call with only 1 second left on the shot clock. So Ibaka doesn't get that call. Ibaka's on the ground. Chris walks over to him. I don't know what he said, but presumably talked some shit because Ibaka immediately stood up, went after him, sort of went for the neck, went for a little choke, sort of like pushed him into the stanchion. And then I think Chris threw the first punch, and then Ibaka threw a punch. Both of them missed. Ibaka, by the way, his saving grace is really that he just has no accuracy with the punches, because you would get a lot more days suspended. You lose a lot more money if you actually punch somebody. But this man throws punches like he throws three-pointers. Like, it's just bricks, really. But no punches actually land, but punches are exchanged. They're separated. Actually, one of the quickest replays I've ever seen, really, because I think the referee saw what was going down, and like, it was very quick. It was like, yep, they fought each other. They put three punches, both toss out of the game. And, at that time, the Raptors were down 12. You would have thought maybe if the Raptors were going to make any sort of a push in this game, that fight would kind of inspire them. But they came back with the bench unit. It was Norm and Jeremy Lin, my God. Look, man, there's a Chinese expression about, there's a whole Chinese thing about face, okay? Face is like, it's hard to explain, but it's sort of a mix between like pride and ego and sort of just your social standing almost. And you basically, Chinese people really value this. And it's really about, people do a lot of things to save face, quote unquote, sort of save the reputation. Jeremy, bro, you're making us all lose face. I'm sorry. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not like he asked to be sort of an ambassador, but Jeremy is playing tough, man. He came in, missed some wide open threes. It just killed any momentum the Raptors had. And on the other side, the Cavaliers were hitting some crazy threes. Overall, they shot really well, 18 of 41 from deep. It's kind of like the Raptors last night, right, when they shot 21 of 40 from deep. So you got the Cavs splashing these threes, and you got Jeremy Lin breaking wide open shots, and it was just really deflating. And Marc Gasol came in. He got the start today. It wasn't very effective. Got completely outplayed by Ante Zizic, which, I mean, I just did a whole podcast with Vivek about what you want out of Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol. And we had this extended discussion about sort of the nuance of Gasol. There's no nuance in this game, man. Gasol just flat out didn't show up. Now, granted, a lot of players didn't show up, but Gasol is really poor. And then when he came in the fourth quarter, defensively, it was bad. The whole thing, offensively, was bad. The Cavs did a lot of trapping. He was caught, by surprise a couple times. Three turnovers, four assists. That's not a good ratio. 1-6, that's also not a good ratio. It was just an ugly night, man. It's an ugly night. To make matters worse, I thought, it's hard in Nurse's position because it's always easier in hindsight to be like, yo, just throw this game away. And it's also easier for us at home to just be like, yo, this game, come on. Like, clearly it doesn't matter that much. Like, you should sort of throw it away. But as a coach, it's also hard to sort of establish that, right? It's hard to just completely wave the white flag. And he's already dealing with a short rotation, so it's not like he can even bench everybody. But at the same time, he could have at least spared Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard some of those fourth quarter minutes, because it didn't really seem like the Raptors were making a bag. They weren't playing good defense at all. The Cavs just kept getting wide open threes, and there was no need to put Kawhi and Kyle in that position, and Kyle was taking charges. Kyle banged up his ankle. Apparently he's fine, although who knows. Kyle Lowry, every time you ask him about injuries, he's always going to say he's fine, so take that with a grain of salt. But like, it was not a good look. It really wasn't. Like, this is clearly a game the Raptors are going to throw away. This is clearly a game they didn't come prepared for, right? Like, the Raptors, like, they were so bad in terms of just like stringing coherent possessions together on both sides of the floor. Like, they looked like they were playing drunk, to be honest. I don't think they were. I'm just saying, like, that's sort of the style they're playing. Like, you know how Nick Nurse likes to go to that zone defense to sort of just engage his team and get everyone to sort of stay engaged and, talk to each other and rotate and sort of take more of a shared responsibility rather than just, playing the usual man-to-man or whatever? So Nick usually likes to go to that zone maybe in the second quarter and maybe in the second half when things get really dire. He went to a zone 5 minutes into the game because of that's just how badly the Raptors were defending. It was tough. And, you know, man, even in the second half, it's not like the Raptors might come in and take control. One of those games where, you know, you cruise through the first half. Okay, Raptors kind of lucky to only be down two. And you figure they would flip the switch. Man, the third quarter starts, the Cavs immediately go on a 7-0 run. And you got Kawhi Leonard throwing up bricks, like just like wide open threes, top of the floor, and he's shooting it into the side of the rim. Like and where it meets the backboard, like that's, yeah, it was that kind of night for the Raptors, and basically they never made a push. You know, Kawhi played okay, I guess. To be honest, so the Cavaliers doubled him a lot, which is sort of consistent with what the Cavs have done all season against the Raptors in this matchup. They've always given Kawhi these double teams and forced him to make the plays out of the passes. I don't think the Raptors moved very well around Kawhi, so I will add that in as a caveat, but there was a lot of opportunities where Kawhi had open passes and he just failed to recognize and make the read. Now, individually, he still had an efficient scoring night, 25 points and 11 of 19 shooting, 3 of 8 from deep. That's fine. 9 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. In 31 minutes, that's fine, but you know, it never really felt like Kawhi was dominating, and the points that he was getting were really, really difficult. But I mean, again, Kawhi is not the problem tonight. I mean, you look at the up and down the rest of the roster, Pascal constantly in foul trouble. I would say Kevin Love got a really, really nice whistle, like really nice. You know, like he drew 3 charges. I was like, some of those were iffy. And Pascal couldn't even like breathe on Kevin. I actually thought Kevin played pretty good defense on Pascal, but you know, Pascal's effectiveness limited, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 of 13 shooting, 0 of 4 from deep. That was a little bit disappointing. You know, Danny, outside of hitting 2 shots in the first half, the guy was nowhere to be found. I don't think he was doing too much, to be honest, other than just spacing the floor. I mean, to be fair, the Raptors weren't moving the ball that great, but he also wasn't, you know, asserting himself on the game by any means. You got the bench unit was tough, man. It was tough. Norm making bad decisions. Yo, Norm had 5 turnovers in 19 minutes. You're not even a lead ball handler. How do you have 5 turnovers? Of late, he's been doing this weird thing where he's just dribbling the ball and will lose the ball. And it's just so frustrating with watching Norm play right now. Jeremy, I already said earlier, making us all lose face. Minus 15 in 21 minutes. And it's not even just the minus 15. It's the fact that you could tell that he has no confidence and he's really lost and you know, just has no mojo, no flow, nothing. And then you could definitely also tell that his teammates are trying to get him going. But then when he then bricks wide open shots, it has this deflating effect on the rest of the team, it looks like. And what, I mean, obviously they'll never admit it. They're going to be good teammates about it. And Jeremy's a good dude, but like, man, I mean, even watching at home, I'm like, it's great sequences. Kawhi's getting doubled. They get it out of the double team. It's Jeremy. He'll pump fake. And then, you know, like the defender will leave him. He's wide open. It's like, all right, pull up, Jeremy. Let's see the 3. And then he just breaks every time. It's I mean, like, yo, man, Jeremy started the game missing a wide open finger roll layup. So it was just, I wasn't expecting too much. And somehow I was still disappointed. You know, OG played fine. You know, defensively, he made some plays, active. But there's only so much a 3-and-D guy like OG can do, to be honest. You know, until he sort of hones his handle and then sort of leverages his like just becomes more crafty with his finishing. Like he's not going to have that Siakam style effect on the game. But you can definitely tell he's providing positive energy defensively. He's probably the one Raptor that actually decided to play defense tonight. You know, McCaw had a really nice transition layup where he went behind the back, but otherwise, you know, same old McCaw, 2 shots in 19 minutes. That's, you know, and yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Really, like, it was just a disappointing night for the team overall. They clearly didn't show up. Obviously, they're better than this against the Cavs. You know, they should obviously handle a team like the Cavaliers, but Raptors didn't show up to play, basically. That's just kind of as simple as that. And if they did sort of give any F's about this game, they probably would have played better and they probably would have changed the result, but they didn't. And then the Cavs shot really well, and that's basically it. I mean, look, man, that's a bad game of the Raptors. They shot 10 of 17 from the free throw line. Like, come on, this is a really good free throw shooting team. Kawhi went 0 of 3 from the free throws. Like, that's tough. You know, and meanwhile, the Cavs went 20 of 21. You know, who cares about free throw shooting, really? But also, like, as a team, 20 of 21, that's really impressive. So, Cavs were sharp, Raptors were not. Serge gets into a fight. Yeah, so go back on the Serge thing. I mean, I think we always overreact to these fights a little bit because we always think, oh my God, he threw a punch, that's like five games. Like, no, not really. Like, you got like one game for throwing a punch and whatever, especially if you already got ejected from the game. Like, that already basically counts as sort of, you know, a day off, basically. So, you know, that will be normal circumstances. Probably get suspended one or two games. However, Serge is a repeat offender, as I mentioned. I mean, 2 years ago, a man fought Robin Lopez and almost took each other's heads off. Last year, he went at James Johnson, which was wild. Wild for anybody to be going at James Johnson. Okay. We're Raptors fans, so we all know what James Johnson is capable of. Yeah, for people who may not know, James Johnson is a certified black belt, and I believe he's undefeated in MMA bouts. I don't think these are official fights, but I 100% believe that this 6'8 man is undefeated. And apparently, legend has it that James Johnson can do a backflip and kick the ball from under the rim. Like, if you wedge the ball on the basket, apparently he has done some sort of flip kick where he's kicked the ball off the rim. So, yeah, I mean, I can't believe Serge actually tried to fight James Johnson. That's, you know, he must have probably just, he's probably just happy and praying. Hey, look, Serge is too handsome to get into these fights, especially with James Johnson. Like, bro, that will change your whole life instantly. And then, now with Chris, right? And to be honest, I think Serge was the guy who escalated to a fight. Before that, it was sort of like, all right, so, like, you know, Chris tried to punk him or whatever, and it's like, all right, missed foul call. Serge is the guy who first got physical, so he's going to get, you know, a little bit more time in terms of suspending. And, yeah, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say 3 to 5 games, somewhere in that range. And, you know, it is really unfortunate because the Raptors have so little depth in the front court right now. Like, they don't have a third center. Like, I'm sorry, but Chris Boucher is just not that right now. And until he bulks up, he just really wouldn't be. But, you know, okay, so now you basically forced Gasol into starting. And, you know, it's not like they're playing a murder's row of games. The Lakers are coming up. The Lakers are, I mean, they're starting JaVale McGee at center. Like, you know, it'll be okay. Who's even playing backup center for the Lakers these days? Because I think Tyson Chandler is out with, like, old man stuff. So, is it literally Jonathan Williams again? Yo, that guy has played a lot of games for a team with LeBron James on it, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Lakers, you know, whatever. That's a game that doesn't concern me too much. But then, you know, you got, you know, the Pistons coming up after that. You're going to definitely need Serge. Can you even imagine Chris Boucher going up against Andre Drummond? Are you kidding me? Drummond is like 4 Chris Bouchers. That's not even an exaggeration. Oh, man. And then the Knicks after that and the back-to-back. Like, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a good situation. Like, Serge, you got to hold your emotions. And then if it's any more than that, so that's 3 games, Lakers, Pistons, Knicks. If it's any more than that, the Raptors play a home-and-home with the Thunder, who are a good team, and they have a good front court. And, again, you wouldn't want Serge to be healthy for that and available. And so, I don't know, man. It's, I mean, we know Serge has his in him. And, like, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Chris said some dumb shit to Serge to spark him off. It's not like Serge just would randomly swing on a guy, but, like, yeah, this was obviously a bad decision. And it was a frustrating night all around. Raps didn't play well whatsoever. If I'm going to hand out 3 stars, I guess I'll give Kawhi number 1. Ugh, I feel bad about that. I guess I'll give Kyle number 2, and then Pascal, I don't know, man. This is a bad game. No one, you know what? Forget it. No one gets stars. No one deserves stars for this game. And then Gerald Henderson, obviously, is Marquise Chris, obviously. I mean, dude, I mean, the guy came in. The guy's terrible. First of all, he's a terrible player. And I can't believe I once wanted the Raptors to trade up to draft Chris. I was looking at the videos. Like, this is one of the classic things, right? If you ever find yourself really enamored with the prospect simply because you watch a lot of videos like the highlight videos, and you're like, yo, this guy can do all this and this and this. That's where you really got to just check yourself and be like, no, hold on, I got to really listen to the scouts, because Chris is a guy where, like, on highlight videos, you're seeing chase down blocks, you're seeing him shoot threes, you're seeing him, you know, with these athletic finishes, and you're like, holy crap, this guy has star potential. But then you, like, take a closer look at him, you're like, nah, this man is a waste, man. And, yeah, I mean, but still, Chris got Ibaka ejected for, like, out of the next, like, four games. So, you know, that's probably as much value as you'll provide in the NBA all season. So, tough game. Obviously a forgettable game. And, yeah, I mean, for anyone who's freaking out or whatever, like, I definitely wouldn't freak out about this game. It's obviously annoying, and they should have not done what they did, but it is what it is. And yeah, hopefully they turn it around against the Lakers, because we know the Raptors are way better than this. So I'll be back on Thursday to discuss that result. Peace.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.